Blog Talk Radio.
not make it as bad as it's going to be. Lord, give us an understanding that we need to be repenting, that we need to be on our face in humility, repenting of every sin, removing every secret sin, removing every bit of rebellion, disobedience, lust, idols, offense, unforgiveness. We need to be removing everything and praying for our nation, praying for people around us, praying for this world, because they're going to need a lot of help, Lord, a lot of mercy. Father, we pray that this morning, God, have mercy upon America, Lord. We have been exceedingly wicked and evil. And that's not just the world. Everything that the world has done, the worldly and the unsaved, the church people have done, every single thing, from abortion to homosexuality to approving of homosexuality to false teachings and lying and stealing and selfishness, Lord, we have done it all. And we deserve judgment. We just come to you this morning, Lord, find the people who will repent. Find the people who your mercy can flow through. Lord, I pray that in Jesus' name.
Come to the Lord thy God. I say to you this day, if you will lay down your life and follow me with all of your heart, I will show you mercy. For those of you that chase after your selfish desires, eternity will not be in your favor. Lay down your life. Seek me. Go after me. Come for me with everything you have, and mercy will be shown you.
Thank you, Lord. May be seated. If you're listening this morning by Blog Talk Radio or by Shoutcast Radio, we welcome you to Fire and Grace Church. I'm Pastor Dean Odle, and we're going to dig into the message this morning. The Lord just kind of, through praise and worship there, just kind of changed everything. There's quite a few things on my heart this morning. Before we go any further, that song we sang there at the end, Remember Mercy, everybody to turn to the prophet Habakkuk. Somebody say Habakkuk. Some say Habakkuk. Doesn't really matter as long as you find it. Three chapters. I'm going to read those verses. Because I want it to be understood that even though I know from God, I know from God's Word, I know from God's Holy Spirit that we're headed into very dark and difficult times. We're headed into what the Bible calls the Great Tribulation, the great time of trouble and trials and testing. Jesus stated that it would not be like anything that had ever been before. That's hard to even comprehend. That Jesus said that it will be worse than anything the world has ever experienced before, that season of time. But make no mistake about it, that God Almighty, the Creator, no matter what the devil has planned, and even though he has judgments planned for the earth and for wicked mankind, that he will hear the prayers of his people who humble themselves and repent and cry out for mercy and cry out for people around them. Our prayers can determine how bad things are. We're not going to stop certain things from happening. There are certain major events and major prophecies and major things that the Bible says will happen. They are going to happen. But there's a lot of stuff in between. There's a lot of things not spelled out, like how it goes for you, how it goes for your city, your church, your community, your state, how it goes for you. That's an important issue. God is able, and I want to say this, God is able in the midst of the darkest storm, in the midst of the most terrible famine, in the midst of the worst attacks and armies and battle and warfare and whatever may be going on, God is able to be your refuge and your provider, and he is able to supernaturally keep you, to supernaturally provide for you, to supernaturally protect you, to give you grace and strength, not only to endure the time of great trouble, but to thrive, to be anointed, to be empowered, to do above and beyond what you even think you can do. See, I want you to understand, I believe that we should be crying out right now. We should be on our faces crying out for God to have mercy on America. Though we don't deserve it, but let's understand, what is mercy in the first place? Mercy is undeserved kindness. See, we get grace and mercy mixed up. We say grace is unmerited favor. Nope. Mercy is unmerited favor. Mercy is undeserved kindness. Mercy is when you deserve judgment, when you deserve wrath, when you deserve discipline because of your sins and your wickedness and your evil and your lukewarmness and your compromise, and God decides to be kind to you. It's when the judge should put you in jail and slam the door and say you're going to be there for years, and he goes, you know what, this time, though you broke the law, though you've broken it 3-4 times now, and you're in my courtroom again, I should put you in jail. You deserve it. That's what the law says. But this time, I'm going to have mercy. This time, I'm going to show you undeserved kindness. America does not deserve another revival, another move of God, another outpouring of the Spirit. We've had many, and yet the church has become more and more wicked, more and more lukewarm, more and more compromised, more and more watered down. It is amazing that even for a second that a seeker-sensitive gospel, a seeker-sensitive mentality of ministry could even take hold in America with all the truth that has been preached, the Bible truth that has been preached. But the idol to have a big church, the idol to have a big budget, the idol to be somebody famous, even within Christianity, is what has driven this lukewarm, watered-down gospel. And now we have a lukewarm, watered-down church. At the time, we're about to move into the darkest season the world has ever known. There's a lot of shepherds out there. There's a lot of ministers and evangelists and pastors and even prophets that have been so watered down by their lust for money and fame and numbers. You know, there's prophets out there that have visions from the Lord, have the gift of prophecy and word of knowledge and word of wisdom, but they've sold that out. They've prostituted it out. And now a deceiving spirit, a lying spirit's worked through them. Some of them used to be real prophets. Some of them used to be real pastors. Some of them used to be real churches that gave real truth. But I want to say this. The Lord spoke to me very clearly when I was at the Brownsville Revival in 1996, August of 96. You have to remember that I went there the first time, I think it was in June of 96. The revival started in June of 95. So by the time I got word of it and got to go to the Brownsville Revival, it had been going for a year. And from then on, I went almost weekly for, I don't know, almost a year. I went almost every week between 19. Actually, I went all the time between 1996 and 1998, all the time, and rather frequently in 99 and even 2000. But I realized something, that, well, we need that again, don't we? The Spirit of God spoke to me very clearly there, that there would be another revival like Brownsville, another one, years later. I knew it would be years after Brownsville ended that there would be another revival. And the Lord spoke to me in 2007, and he told me these words. He said, the Brownsville revival is the Elijah. The next revival will be the Elisha. But here's the thing. It's not going to be, for the Brownsville revival, I heard Steve Hill, many of you know the evangelist that God used to lead the Brownsville revival, passed away this past week. And they thought things were bad in the mid-90s when the revival hit. And it was. We're right in the middle of Bill and Hillary's reign as emperors of the United States. We had just gone through the Gulf War, and everybody thought, well, everything's going to be okay now. So everybody left that when the Gulf War started, everybody ran to church in 1991 over fear that we were about to erupt into World War III in the Middle East. The churches filled up, and then right after that, when the United States and the coalition forces won so easily, everybody was back at ease. And because Israel didn't retaliate against Saddam Hussein's pounding them with Scud missiles, everybody thought, oh, it's going to be okay. And then the Internet was taking off at that time. You see, this is probably one of the greatest curses to come on America and the world. Because what took place in 1995 and 96 through the Internet was the pornography industry exploded. And so you had a lot of people that may have been struggling with lust issues privately now had a way to easily access every imaginable perversion and evil in the sexual realm. And so now, since 94, 95, the Internet revolution, you got to realize that now we have had about 20 years of a generation, not just through the Internet, but through movies and television and cable channels. We've had a generation that is just saturated with sexual immorality and perversion. And it's found its way in the church. And if you don't believe me, even back in the 90s and the early 2000s, they said when a Christian conference would check into a hotel, the pornography pay-per-view channels would skyrocket. And there were a lot of ministries that had to, when they booked a hotel for a conference, would have to ask the hotel to shut that off to all the rooms that were in their block. Adultery is rampant in the church. Premarital sex, fornication is rampant in the church. We've seen it revealed within the Catholic Church, and it's not just within the Catholic Church, but it's rampant in the Catholic Church more than us. But even child molestation is rampant in the church. As Nancy could tell you, as she discovered when she became the CEO of a pregnancy resource center, she can tell you that women in the pews, Christian women, fill churches that's had abortions and had abortions while they've been Christian. And then we got pastors that get up. This is what their congregations are eating up with. And we got pastors who get up and talk about your best life now. You're all children of God. Everybody's okay. I'm okay. You're okay. We're all okay. Let's eat some ice cream. But there is a word from God going forth from the prophets all over this world that America and the American church is about to be judged, about to be humbled, about to be brought low. Folks, our nation is about to be shaken to its core. War, famine, economic collapse, foreign invasion of armies will happen. Entire cities will be destroyed. Earthquakes. Earthquakes and tsunamis are going to come. The words are coming forth from prophets, even men and women of God, who will even say, I've never seen anything from the Lord like this. I've never heard anything from the Lord like this. And yet the prophetic words keep coming. Time is running out. America is about to be judged. America is about to suffer a collapse and a fall like we have never known, because we have sinned against the greatest light. Frankly, I just want to tell you, there's no preacher in America right now, there's no Christian in America right now that's truly listening to the Holy Spirit that shouldn't be trembling in their boots, falling on their faces, and weeping with their eyes and crying out for God to have mercy, and not in any arrogance, because we don't deserve not one thing. This verse in Habakkuk 3, let's read it. This was his prayer when he found out that God was going to raise up the Babylonians to destroy Israel, to destroy Jerusalem, and to take them captive, and they would be scattered. It wasn't a good message prophets received. And he cries out from his heart this prayer to God. Verse 2, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. I have heard your speech and was afraid. See, I'm going to tell you right now, there's not a, if a Christian right now is hearing from God, the fear of God, the fear of what is coming, the reality of the judgment and the things that are coming on this world ought to make them tremble and shake in their boots, and it ought to drive them to their knees. There ought to be some tears falling. Because listen to me, millions are going to perish instantly. Many of them are not going to be ready. They're going to have no idea when the waves of the tsunami swallow them, or when the earthquake breaks off half of California, or when the bomb is dropped on a certain city. They're going to have no idea that that day is the day. The Bible is clear in Revelation 9 that there is a war that was going to come that will kill one-third of mankind by fire. Wake up, folks. It is on our horizon. America will not be untouched. America is not somehow special anymore. We are Sodom and Gomorrah. There are people trying to say we're Babylon and we're mystery Babylon. No, we're not. We are Sodom and Gomorrah. Our idols are the same idols as Sodom. Perversion, sexual immorality, lust, perversion, homosexuality. We have an abundance of food, the abundance of bread. What is about to happen is going to take many by complete surprise. He said, Lord, I have heard your speech, and I was afraid. It's a good place to start. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you don't fear God, you're a sinner. I'm just going to tell you, I don't care if you're a Christian, if you're a pastor, if you're an evangelist, if you're not trembling and fear God and understand that sin is a serious issue and that judgment is coming. If you don't understand that, just shut your mouth and go home. Quit fooling the sheep. Quit lying to the sheep. You know, I remember the Lord spoke to me recently, because I've been very busy teaching and preaching and Bible studies and sermons and writing and, you know, hours of three-hour Bible studies and two-hour radio shows and church services and counseling on the phone to people all across the world. And I said, Lord, I'm tired. And I've asked him sometimes, and this auto, every minister I'll ask this, I said, am I doing too much work and not spending enough time with you? You know what he told me? He said, if you love me, feed my sheep. The minister's proof that he loves God, that he loves Jesus, and he loves his people, that he'll wear himself out to feed the sheep. Why? I think a lot of us pastors who are feeding the sheep the truth, we're a little tired because there's not enough pastors feeding the sheep. He says, Lord, I was afraid. I'm afraid. Oh, Lord, here's the prayer. Oh, Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years of wrath, the years of judgment. Revive your work in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. I love that the Holy Spirit led Habakkuk to pray correctly. Sin and wickedness must be judged. I'm going to be very honest with you right now. There are some evil people in the world that just are filled with violence and murder, and they're raping many children, and they're raping people, and they're killing people. And you know what? Would I like them to be saved and change their lives and go to heaven? Yes, but I am not going to weep a tear when God judges them because he's given everybody a chance. And their own conscience and their own heart knows it's wrong to kill somebody. It's wrong to murder somebody. It's wrong to rape somebody. It's wrong to rape some little child. You know what? You deserve what's coming to you, sir. I think it's a good thing I'm a Christian. Otherwise, I'd be a vigilante. Wouldn't be getting off on technicalities because I would find you. But you deserve what you get. This should be our prayer. In the wrath that's coming, in the judgment that's coming, oh God, remember some mercy. Please, have mercy. Do you pray that prayer for people around you? Everybody in here, we got family members not living right. They're not living close to God. They're in sin. They're drinking. They're partying. They're in sexual immorality. They're in pride. They're in arrogance. They're in unbelief. Hardness of heart. Let me remind you, son. You're only here. I'm only here. Because God had mercy on us. And somebody prayed for us that kept us alive long enough to say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus, wash me. Jesus, cleanse me. Jesus, forgive me for being so evil. I didn't realize what I was doing. We all barely made it. If you're walking with Jesus right now, if you're saved, if you're in the truth of the Word of God, in the truth of the gospel at all, if you know anything about walking with God, you've truly been born again, it's because God had great mercy on you because you were blind. The devil had blinded your mind. Your heart was hardened. Sin had deceived you. You were gone. And recently I had a young man that just looked at me in the eyes with tears in his eyes, and he said, I appreciate what you've done because I would have been lost. I would have been in hell. I would have been deceived. I would have lived in my sin thinking okay because I went to church once in a while and tried to be a good guy that I thought was good. No, if you're a drunkard, if you're a fornicator, if you're a whoremonger, if you're an adulterer, if you're a murderer, if you're a liar, if you're a thief, you're not going to heaven. I don't care how many times you say you've been saved, prayed a prayer, been baptized, sprinkled, confirmed, been to confession. If you're not living it now, walking it now, repenting now, washed in the blood of Jesus now, loving Jesus more than the world now, you are not saved and going to heaven. And this is not hard. This is just the truth. It's just the facts. If you're not praying now, I'm going to say this right now. If you're not spending time in prayer and you're not crying out for people around you and you're not crying out for mercy and God to move in their lives, let me tell you something. You're either blind or you're backslidden or both. How can you not care that they are about to perish by the millions? Get on your knees. Get on your face. And do something about it. Be an intercessor. Be in the gap. Speak the truth to them. I don't care. You, listen, we got to get beyond worrying about what people think. Lives are at stake here. Eternal lives are at stake. Don't believe the lies of the devil. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. See, there's a lot of people here in this old United States of America that think, and I'll say the West, because we have people listening in Great Britain, Ireland, and Australia. I'll say the Western culture. A lot of people think the church is going to, if you're a Christian, if you believe in Jesus, if you're part of the church, you're going to be okay. In fact, these bunch of lukewarm heathens actually think they're going to get out of here before anything bad happens. That is the epitome of pride and foolishness. It really is. How dare you live a lukewarm Christian life, compromise, live in sin, have no fear and trembling of God, call yourself a Christian, and then have the audacity to think you're getting out of here before the trouble hits. Oh. The pre-trib rapture is the result, that doctrine is the result of the pride of Americans. Because it's not Bible, folks. I don't care how you try to twist the few verses that you try to use. There's a whole lot more that prove it the other way. Now, why do I say that? Because let's read this verse. Let's read this verse. 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to read a few verses. Verse 12. Starting at verse 12. Beloved. So who's he talking to? Hold on. Who's he talking to? I don't ever see where any of the apostles ever called the heathens beloved. Okay? He said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial or time of trouble, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached or persecuted, spoken against for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Why? For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Doesn't sound like you're slipping in There's a lot of good people going to hell, y'all. But, Pastor, what do you say? Good in their own eyes. Good when they compare themselves to other wicked people. No, there is none good. No, not one, the Bible says. There's only people who walk washed in the blood of Jesus, who walk obedient to the gospel and continue to get washed in the blood of Jesus, and then there are people who don't. Amen. It's never been complicated. But look what he says. The end time judgment, and this is what he's talking about. The persecution that's coming, the reproach that's coming, the suffering that's coming, the trial that's coming, the greatest trial in the history of mankind that's coming. He said, don't think it's strange. Think it a strange thing is when Christians suffer. Some Christians will suffer. Christians are suffering in the Middle East right now. Christians are suffering in North Korea right now. Christians, matter of fact, the number of Christians who were martyred for their faith doubled from 2012 to 2013. Judgment must begin at the house of God. And let's just understand something. There's more Christians in America per capita. There's more churches in America. There's more Bibles. There's more Christian TV shows. There's more Christian radio shows. Now, a lot of it ain't worth listening to or going to. But the point is, if you look at the world, and most of the world has looked at America as the Christian nation. That doesn't mean we've always had sinners and we've always had evil people and that's not the issue. But we were looked at as having the most Christians who would do the most good, who would preach the most truth. That's pretty much not the case anymore. But hear me. If there's one place on the earth you could say that judgment will begin at the house of God, it would be Christian America. And they taught a gospel that just believe and do whatever and you slide in. And yet I read this, it says, and if the righteous, means the good folks, scarcely with much difficulty, barely get in. Where shall the ungodly person and the sinner? You know what the sinner is? A sinner is someone who sins all the time. In a Christian's life, sin ought to be the exception and not the rule. If it's the rule, if it's the lifestyle, if it's the pattern, if it's the habitual practice, then you are a sinner. Listen, I'm not going to say I don't sin, but I'm not a sinner. There's a difference. For God to have mercy. Like never before, you guys, we got to get on our face. We got to get on our knees. We got to intercede and pray. For God to have mercy on our nation. Folks, the east and west coast of the United States, they're in big trouble. There's so many prophecies and words and visions and dreams coming in total destruction of the east and west coast of the United States. I think the severity of that is determined by the prayers of God's people. There are certain cities that are so evil and so wicked and so much crime and so much evil, God's going to judge them. He is. See, we think about that, but I'm going to tell you right now, there's going to be churches. Hear what I'm saying. Churches that God is going to allow destruction to come and death to come because they have lied and they have deceived and they have not fed his sheep and judgment will begin with them. See, this is not a game. You know, especially down here in the South, those of you listening up north in the different parts of the world, let me explain to you. I call it down here in the South good old boy religion. Good old boy religion. Drank my Budweiser. Cuss. Lust. But the big man upstairs knows my heart. Yeah, he knows. He knows. But there are people, this good old boy religion is actually convinced that because it acknowledges God, it believes in God. And listen, I'm going to say this. This is for a lot of Americans, even the American conservatives, the patriots. I love people. Don't get me wrong. I love my country, and I love people who love my country. I think that's honorable and good. I love veterans who have fought for our country. But you know what? Just because you fought for our country, or just because you acknowledge God, or just because you believe in the big man upstairs, it doesn't make you right with God. It doesn't okay if you're an adulterer or a fornicator, or you're down at the, what's the place they go to, the American Legion, drinking all the time. I don't care if you're a patriot, a conservative, a Republican, a libertarian, a Democrat, a veteran. You've got to come to Jesus. You've got to decide to quit being a sinner and become a saint through faith in the cross of Jesus Christ, through repentance, through faith in his resurrection from the dead. Faith that Jesus Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is God manifested in the flesh. You got to hate your sin, your wickedness, your evil. You got to hate it and love God. Love the things of God. Folks, this is what America must hear. It must hear. Now, I didn't know this. We just looked up the stats. This is what God's doing. When you preach the truth, listen to me. He'll take it out beyond what you could ever imagine or think. But I obeyed God to share the prophetic dreams that I had about the coming nuclear attack on America and that Obama would be complicit in that attack and do nothing. Posted it in March of 2013, 1 year ago. Nancy looked up the stats year to date on that message. 286,000 people in 1 year. I had no idea. I know we just had 125,000 in a week. But that still leaves a whole bunch more that I didn't even realize. God is warning America. God is warning the church in America. Most of them aren't listening. Most of them don't want to hear it. But God is speaking. Now let me say this as I try to come to a close today, because I'm not going to go long. Wednesday night prayer was awesome this past week, and as we started praying and seeking God, this is the good side. I believe God has promised that in the midst of these years of his wrath and his judgments and Satan going crazy and the persecution and the trials that are coming, I believe that God is going to pour out his spirit because people are going to fall on their knees and they're going to fall on their faces. Not all, but many are going to. But I saw this the other night as we were praying, and I saw a vision of the glory of God as a huge, massive blanket. I can't even explain it to you. It was thick. It may have been 15 feet thick, and it covered like a whole area, and it was hovering over this area is what I saw initially. But I believe it represented anyone right now, and I believe in the passing of Steve Hill, that there's a mantle that's fallen down like when Elisha was taken up into heaven, and he was the leader of the revival in Israel at the time. And when God took him to heaven, he dropped his mantle back down, and somebody had to pick it up. And that one that picked it up was Elisha. And what Elijah had asked for, Elijah said, "What do you want when I'm taken?" And he said, "I want a double portion of your spirit to be upon me. I want to be like you. I want to preach like you. I want to do the signs and wonders like you. I want to stand up for the Lord in the face of all opposition like you. I want to be like you." He said, "Well, if you see me when I'm taken, if you're there, if you're present, if you're after it, if you're chasing after this, when it happens, you'll get it." So you know what Elisha did? He wouldn't let Elijah out of his sight. He chased him. He went with him. And what's so funny is Elijah tried to discourage him. "No, no, you stay here. I'm going to go over here." Can I just say this? You find a man of God, he's not supposed to chase you around. You're supposed to chase him. You want the anointing and glory of God, you're supposed to chase after that. You know what I'm saying? But when he chased after him, when Elisha was taken up by the Lord in that fiery chariot, he was taken to heaven, he dropped his mantle, his coat back down to the ground. And it represented that anointing and that calling and that gifting and that place that Elisha filled in the earth to be a leader of God's people, a prophet, to lead them to repentance, to lead them away from idolatry and sin, to lead them back to the Lord. I love what Elijah said, you know, to the prophets of Baal and to all Israel as they stood there on the mountain. He said, "If Baal be God, serve him. But if the Lord Jehovah be God, then serve him." And he called down fire from heaven. And they killed a lot of the prophets of Baal, not all of them. But Israel was still messed up. Jerusalem was still messed up. God wasn't finished. God's always going to have a prophetic voice in the earth. He's always going to have an anointed ministry in the earth, even if it's few in comparison. But Elisha picked up that mantle. He picked up Elijah's mantle and he walked back. And you remember right before Elijah was taken, they walked across to the Jordan River and Elijah smote the river with his mantle and the river parted from him. And they walked across on dry ground. And so when Elijah was taken and the mantle fell, he walked over and he picked it up and he went straight back to the Jordan River. And he said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And he hit the river. And it parted for him. And the prophets, the other prophets in the church that was looking from afar said, "The spirit of Elijah thus rest on Elisha. The mantle is passed to somebody. It's time. The Lord told me that the mantle had come down for the next revival to come. The mantle has descended, and it was in, it was like in the air, right above our head. And the Lord said to tell us to reach up and pull it down. Reach up and pull it down here. Pull down that glory. Take it up like Elijah picked it up. Take it up and go do something with it. Go witness to somebody. Go preach to somebody. Go lay hands on somebody. Go cast a demon out of somebody. Go heal the sick. Cleanse the leper. Raise the dead. Do something now. Pray like you've never prayed. Fast like you've never fasted. Do something to grab hold of that, because we can move into the next season of revival, even in the midst of wrath and judgment." And I believe that's what's going to happen. But it's up to us how much we have. It's up to us how much mercy we get a hold of. It's up to us how much glory of God we bring down. And I love that Elisha wanted more. He wanted more than Elijah had. "I want double what you have. I want to do more. I want to be a greater life. I want to do more miracles. I want to glorify the Lord God of heaven more, even more than you did, and you did it great." Where are the people that want more? You want a revival anointing? You better have an Elijah and Elisha life, an Elijah and Elisha message. Their message was clear: repent, turn from sin, turn from wickedness, Turn from idolatry. Turn from witchcraft. Turn from sexual immorality. Turn from Asherah. Turn from Baal. Turn from the devil. Follow the Lord God, Jehovah, creator of heaven and earth. Follow Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Follow him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the message. It's not well. I don't know. I don't want to upset anybody. It's just my belief. Can I just say this? The day of Joel Osteen is over. The day of Rick Warren, the days of this watered down foolishness. This exposed now for the powerlessness and the emptiness. And when these trials and destruction and wrath fall upon this world, they will have nothing to answer. They don't even know Bible prophecy. They don't even know what comes. They don't even know what to do. Frankly, they don't even know the real Jesus. Because if they did, they'd be preaching the truth. And they wouldn't get on Larry King and say, "Oh, I know Hindus love God." No, they don't. They love idols. I've watched Hindus. I've been in Hindu country. I've watched them bow down and worship their idols and their gods, their demon gods. I've watched it. They don't love the God of heaven. They don't love the Creator. They don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Messiah, the only King, and the only way to heaven. They don't love him. He's a liar. You want to look at why America's sick? You can see how they're sick. That they can hear that foolishness and fill that man's church up. ₹50,000 people going to that church. That's unbelievable. 30 years ago, 40 years ago in America, that message would have done nothing because Americans knew better. They knew it was a bunch of hogwash. You're sensitive. Effeminate, weak, miserable. I got a new word, homo spiritual. It is, because you know what? When you try to be nice and soft and sweet and please everybody, that's an effeminate spirit. I love women. God raised up women to be the nurturers, to be the emotional, to be the ones that understood that part of it. But God raised up the men, daddies, husbands. Stop momming him. Stop momming. They got to grow up. They got to toughen up. You hear me? Same way in the church. Got a bunch of mama preachers. They want to nurture everybody. They don't want anything. They don't want anything too harsh. Don't be harsh. God, that was harsh. He said repent. That word repent makes me pee my pants. Sissy me. I think Steve Quill calls them meow men. Girly men. If you're in a girly man church that's afraid to hurt your feelings, run. Run away. I believe women can preach and teach and prophesy, but God called men to lead. There's a reason. It's not that we don't have emotions, we're just not ruled by it. Amen. And it's okay. Women, be women. I don't like women that try to be like men. Amen. Right? Not good either. Right? How many of you know this? I'm just going to throw this out there. But how many of you know, you can read this for yourself. Isaiah 1 through 3 is a good revelation of what America looks like. But one of the things it says is part of a curse that because Israel lived in sin, and this goes to the United States of America, he said, but because of their sin and their idolatry and their wickedness, and they wouldn't turn to me, here's what he said. He said, children oppress them, children will lead them, and women will lead them. Where are the men in that picture? And I just got news for you about your household. Let me just say this. If the wife leads the husband around, you're under the curse. If the children determine what you do and don't do, you're under the curse. See, that's it. My children will do what I say, when I say, how I say. There are no ands or buts or negotiations. I love my wife. She's wise. She's smart. She's got prophetic gifts. God speaks to her through dreams and very clearly, and she has discernment. And I listen. She doesn't leave our home. And every now and then, if it starts getting to be a little tense, I remind her of that. And you know what she usually does? You know, you're right, I'm sorry. Because there's a tendency for all of us to let things happen. We ought not let happen. That was free. That was just a little free right there. But you think about it. Just read the news a little bit. I need to get done here, don't I? There's a move of God coming. In fact, I believe God's already sent it. Remember the story of Daniel? Daniel 9 and 10, when he started praying, he said, the day you opened your mouth, the day you began to fast and pray, I sent Gabriel with the answer. And but lo, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood him, fought against him, hindered him. 21 days, so Daniel kept praying and kept fasting. Why did Daniel start that fast? A lot of people don't realize. Why did he start that fast? Why did he start that prayer in that season? It says, it tells you why in Daniel chapter 9. It says, because he understood by reading the prophet Jeremiah. Imagine that, a prophet reading the Bible. He said, I understood by reading Jeremiah that the 70 years in Babylon in captivity were about to be over. And he knew, I better start praying. I better start fasting because the devil's not going to let this slide and go through without a fight. And Daniel was a man of prayer. And a great move of God happened. And they were released to go back to the land. Amen? What will you do, church? Will you pray? Will you fast? Will you cry out for mercy? Will you be an overcomer in the last days, or will you be overcome? Will you defeat the powers of darkness, or will they defeat you? Will you bring the flesh under control, or will the flesh control you? Will you bring the spirit of fear under control, or will fear control you? Will you look to the government to save you, or will you look to Jesus to save you? Will you look to the doctors in the hospital to heal you, or will you look to Jesus to heal you? I just read a story of a woman who went to the hospital because she was faint and dehydrated. Passed out, woke up, started praying and reading the Bible, and they said she had a psychiatric condition and held her in the hospital for 5 days and threatened to put her in a psychiatric ward simply because she prayed. Folks, I'm going to tell you, I'm not setting foot in the hospital. They thought I'd have to carry me in unconscious. I'm not going anymore. Jesus is the healer. Amen. He's the great physician. The day's coming, if it comes down to taking the mark of the beast, you won't be able to go to the hospital. What are you going to do if you can't start believing God now?
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm against the doctor. I'm just telling you, folks, it's getting worse out there, and it's getting to the point we will not be able to do some of the things and have some of the conveniences that we have now. You better find God as your source, because it will either be God will either be your source, or you will be your source, or you will look to the government, and this Antichrist world government is coming to be your source. You will have a source. And I hope you found out that you're not good enough to be your source. See, that's why there's been this evil plot to get people dependent on government. Because the devil knew he was going to bring this whole Mark of the Beast thing. It's just another government EBT call. Except this one damns you to hell forever. Let's pray. Lord, we pray this morning that you will move us to our knees and to our face to pray like we've never prayed, to tremble, to fear your judgments, to fear what we've heard you're about to do, but to pray and believe and to humble ourselves and to repent of sin. To repent of lukewarmness, to repent of fearing people. Lord, move us into reaching up and grabbing hold of this mantle of revival that's coming down. God, help us. God, help us to be positioned, to position ourselves to be filled with the Holy Ghost, to be empowered to begin to preach Jesus and demonstrate the ministry of Jesus Christ, salvation, healing, deliverance, and to lift up and preach his soon return. Father, we pray for grace and power and mercy. God, we ask you, we've all sinned and come short of your glory, even as Christians, but we want no more with that stuff. We want to move on. We want to go on to maturity. We want to go on to deeper things. We want to move on and to fulfill your calling and destiny on our life. Lord, Fire and Grace Church, as a church, we want to fulfill the purpose of why you planted us here in this region at this time. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name, let your fire fall. Let everybody stand. Let's sing this song before we leave this place. Oh,
Before we go, be seated one more time, because a few weeks back, Patrick had a dream that I feel like from the Lord, and that he's going to share, and they said he had another word to share. So I'm going to do two things here. You got to hold this, and you got to speak into it, actually, and then I'm going to hold this, because we got to go in two different directions. So go ahead.
2 weeks ago, when I was in Florida, Scotty and I, the Lord came to me and he gave me a dream, and he showed me that a lot of the things that I have dealt with in my life, with sexual lust, sexual pornography, and things that he brought into my life as a child. My grandfather is a prostitute son. We don't even know who my great-grandfather is, and things that I've battled. But the dream that he showed me was we were sitting at a baseball game, me and a friend, unknown friend. Off in the distance, we saw white clouds that were filled with fire, an orange tinge. The announcer had every one of us, they had it turned onto the big mega screen, and we got to watch it. And when we got to watching it, people panicked and started running and and fear. After that, the dream shifted to me being in a helicopter with this unknown friend, and we were flying over, I guess, where we were at, and flying up, and we saw this lady standing at the end of her driveway talking on the phone. The ground opened up beneath her, and she was sucked in by fire. We flew on to a guy who was standing on top of a huge dam. I'm thinking it kind of resembled Hoover Dam to me. He was reaching up for the hook, the safety hook on the bottom of the helicopter, and he grabbed it. Just as he grabbed it, the dam collapsed underneath him, and he was saved. And then we flew up the side of a mountain where we saw a children's play set, and it was all burning with fire. God showed me the meaning of that dream pretty much immediately. Usually I don't get my interpretations quick, but he gave me that one quick. It's coming, people. We don't have time. The woman, the point of the woman being sucked up by the earth is that we're not going to have time to repent like the thief on the third cross. It's going to happen. You ain't going to have time to say, "Forgive me, Jesus." The man was saved from the dam because he was waiting until everybody was off the dam to be safe before he saved himself. He was willing to give his own life for everybody else, so God showed him mercy. It's coming. We're running out of time. And he showed me something else. He said, about myself even, that there's people sitting in this church that are going to miss it because they think, "I'm okay. I'm doing this." Or you're hiding something. You've got secrets, and you're not wanting to reveal them. But God knows everything. You can't hide. I don't care how thick your walls are. You cannot hide your secret from God. He knows it. But what God has given me at the beginning of this service today was directed at you four teenagers. You guys are living your own lust. You're chasing your own things. You're wanting to do your own stuff. But God said your road's about to catch up with you. You're about to come to a crossroads, and you're going to choose God or Satan, heaven or hell. You're at the age of accountability. All four of you teenagers know that you're chasing something, doing something, and denying the voice of God because you are at the age of accountability. And you know you're doing it. And you're trying to hide it. Or you're trying to look over it. But I can tell you from my own personal experience, all four of you know my life, so you know. You keep denying the voice of God. That voice gets smaller. You go your own way, chasing your own lust, and you find yourself back out there in the world, back in the same stuff you were in, worse, even more, and even harder to walk back in here. It's not an easy return, I guarantee you. So as a matter of fact, if Pastor don't mind, I want all four of you to come up here, and I want to pray for you.
Amen.
God has plundered your hearts. God knows you. God has revealed to me, each and every one of you, we know, Lord, that you deny the voice of God because of pains and hurts and this, that, and the other. We know, Tom, that you're chasing your own lust. And we know that you two boys right here are you doing the same thing, whether it be girls or whether it be alcohol or your buddies, whatever it is. You guys are at a place where you're going to have to choose heaven or hell. You're old enough. All of you were raised in church. You know right from wrong. You probably know the Bible as good as John, if not better than all four of them. But you're denying the voice of God, Jordan. He looks at you as young adults. Me and Sheree, us parents in here, we look at y'all still as children. Y'all are still our children. Although you're old enough to be judged for your own sins now. Understand? So I want to pray with you guys. If the pastor would help me and pray with me and the church would pray with me. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord. First of all, I want to just bind the spirits that are working in these children, the voices. In Jesus' name, I bind them. Shut their mouths so they cannot speak louder than God. And Lord, that these children can hear you. In the name of Jesus, I command
the mighty word of God. these young men, Lord.
God, I pray, Father, that you have mercy a little longer on these kids, Lord, that you, God, that you would give them time, reach into their hearts, Father, pull them towards you, Lord, and show them, plunder their hearts and open their minds, Lord, and show them, Lord, that, Father God, that where their errors are, what they're doing, Lord, the lust that they're chasing is hurting them and pulling them away from you.
Yes.
Reach and touch them, Lord. We know the time is short, God. Us parents want to see these children in heaven, Lord.
Yes.
They don't want them to perish because they won't listen to you. They won't listen to us. They won't listen to the elders of this church.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you and we praise you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, let your power flow over these children. Speak in their hearts, Lord. Break their hearts, Lord, and let them listen to you.
Jesus.
I said that for his soul of the ocean.
Jesus.
Thank you.
You know, there's something I want to say to all of you. Look, you know, y'all look at me. At one point or another, even the adults in this church, even your dad and other adults, even me, sometimes we haven't been the best example that we need to be. But never, ever look at just people or you will never make it. Because people are always going to fall short. They're always going to mess up. You've got to keep your eyes on Jesus no matter who falls or stumbles or whatever Christian messes up or even if a preacher messes up. You have got to keep your eyes on Jesus, and you've got to know him for yourself. You won't get to heaven through what Pastor Dean knows or coming to church here or through your parents. It's not going to happen that way. You're going to have to know him for yourself. But I just want to remind you, don't look at somebody else to be Jesus. You look at Jesus, and you follow him. God will put good people in your path, and God will use them. It doesn't mean they're perfect people, ever. Okay? And listen, I want you to know something. That the Lord loves you. Jesus loves you. If he didn't love you, he wouldn't keep pounding on your head and your heart to try to get you to the right place. It's not just your parents. It's not just me. It's not just people here. God wants you close to him because he loves you and he has a plan for you and because he wants you in heaven. It's about his love for you, his desire for you to have a better life here and to make it there. So a lot of people think he's trying to rob fun from you. No, he's trying to keep you from the poison. He's trying to keep you from what will destroy your soul. So listen to him. And listen when he speaks to people. He's going to speak to people. I've heard God speak to me through a little child before. God can speak to anybody. Listen, y'all can be seated. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, we just got a little bit of housekeeping.
Did you... Can I still serve my eyes?
Yeah.
I don't get anyone to move in and get
ready. Come here. Yeah. I need to pray for your eye, too. Get up here. I guess we got an eye issue. I don't know. For what? Okay. All right. Well, let's pray for these eyes because he has an injury, too. So we're just going to pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we just lay hands on Patrick and Andy right now, and we thank you, God, that you're the healer. And, God, you said to call for the elders of the church. You said to lay hands upon the sick. Believers would lay hands upon people, and they would be healed in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So right now, we pray for Andy's eyes to be healed. God, in Jesus' name, we just rebuke blurriness. We rebuke this attack. We rebuke it and command it to go. We pray for his eyes and eyesight to be restored and made normal in Jesus' name. Father, I pray this for this injury that happened to Patrick, for this
piece of metal or whatever it was hitting him in the eye. Father, we pray for your healing power there in this eye. And this other eye that he said the vision is so bad, 20/50, we pray, God, that your healing power will flow into these eyes and that these eyes will go to 20/20. Lord, we pray for 20/20 vision in both eyes for each person. We pray for that healing of vision in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we lay hands and we believe that we receive it right now. And Lord, we pray for those out there, for Mike and Marie and those who need your touch today. We ask you to bless and to speak and to work in every life here. And Lord, that everyone here would hear what the word of the Lord has been this morning and would do what they need to do to draw near to you to make changes. So Lord, we pray. We believe we receive. And fellas, I feel the anointing of God upon you. And the Lord says his healing is there for you right now in Jesus' name. And that his hand is upon you and his call is upon you, and he is going to equip you spiritually, emotionally, and physically to do what he's called each of you to do. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for healing. Lord, you renew our strength as the eagles, is what the Bible says in Isaiah. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We have sent your glory here. And I'm just going to say to you guys, I appreciate y'all, and I need your prayers. And I need the men of God around here that are going to be men of God. Amen? I'm not going to go into what happened this week, but the enemy tried to take me out, so I need your prayers. Yeah. So anyway, I guess we need to take up the tithes and offerings this morning. I want everybody to be praying for the Tuesday night radio show. We're going to do Prophecy Quake from 7 to 9. Be praying. God is using that. Wednesday night we'll have prayer at our house. It's very important. If you can make it, please make it to prayer. Prayer is the most important thing the church can do. Thursday night, hopefully, and we had a cancellation this past Thursday, the Bible study, but something was going on there. But anyway, it wasn't us that canceled, it was the others that canceled. But hopefully we'll be back having Thursday night Bible study in Auburn. And also, I know that we're to have another End Times Bible Prophecy Conference, and that's coming up. I'm just praying about when and where, but soon. So please be praying about that. And I say that because I just want you to don't forget about your tithes and your offerings. They are important to what we need to do around here, and not just in the now, but in the future, things that we need to do in the days ahead. So and just remember, I'll tell you this. You know, you don't give to get rich, but I'll tell you this. Givers see miracles of provision. And a lot of times it's in money or what money cannot buy. And I'll tell you, a lot of times I'd rather have what money cannot buy from the Lord. Amen? All right. Well, let's take up the offering. Ian, let's see here. Wait just a second. Mike, would you pray over the offering, the tithes and offerings?
Father, Jesus, thank you. Let's just do more, God. And we just thank you so much for the promise you gave us, God, that you would be devoured. You're up with the wounds of heaven, Father. We just thank you so much for the people given, the blessings so much, God, in Jesus.
Amen. All right, so he takes up the offering. Anybody got anything they want to share? Oh, we have some birthday cards back there. How many birthdays? We got Bill and Ian and Josiah. Goodness. We're talking about this week. We've had some this week. Hang on a second. Are we still on both? Okay. Well, we want to just say that before we get out of here, we appreciate those of you who have been listening by Blog Talk Radio and Shoutcast. Please join us Tuesday night if you can on Prophecy Quake, blogtalkradio.com/Dean Odle. Join us, or you can just go to deanodle.org or fireandgracechurch.org and click on the Prophecy Click button. And listen, I want people to call in and ask questions and have comments. So church folks, y'all are welcome to call in and discuss things. And anyway, we're going to have fun with it, all right? But anyway, let's see. We got Patrick's birthday. We got Benny Painter's birthday. We got Josiah. Yeah, all right, good catch.